we're going to turn to our reading. We're not going to do before the throne of God, okay? I'm taking up too much time. So we're Ephesians 3, and we're going to read from verse 14 to 21. For this reason, what reason? For this reason, for what reason? Well, you got to go back to chapter 2 to know for what reason. Beginning of chapter 2 says this: as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Speaks about our life outside of Christ. Paul says we were objects of God's wrath, but because of his great love for you, God, who is rich in mercy, made you alive with Christ even when you were dead in your transgressions and sins. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up and seated us with Christ in the heavenly realms in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his love for us in Christ Jesus. By grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, gift of God. Boom, boom. For this reason, Paul's delighting in the fact that these folks have come to faith, and he wants that faith to be fostered and to grow and develop. Is your faith growing and developing? Has your faith grown as great as your age has grown? I mean, there aren't many of us here 21. Has your faith grown as you've aged? Or did you get to a certain age and you just parked it? It just plateaued? For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Three times in this passage, Paul speaks about God's power, God's power. And then finally, in this doxology, do you know what doxology is? A doxology is an outburst of praise. It's different to a benediction. Do you know what a benediction is? A benediction is a short prayer. Number 6, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you. See, it's a prayer. The Lord bless. A doxology is just an outburst of praise. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. It's this kind of whoa-ho-ho-ho moment. Do you have many of those in your life during the week? As you follow Jesus, as you look at the sea, as you see nature, as God answers prayer, do you have a whoa-ho-ho moment? Well, some of you need a few more of them looking at you. You know, foster faith. Be encouraged in the little things. breakfast in the morning, flowers in the garden, birds song in the trees. Don't chase after the big blessings, because all of the little ones, when you put them together, they make big blessings. Yeah. Sir, did you have many wah-ha-ha-ha moments this week? Well, try and have a few more this week, okay? Try and look for occasions when you can have a wah-ha-ha-ha moment. You don't need to say it, but wouldn't it shock your wife? I mean, if suddenly you're in the, she's in the kitchen and you're yelling in the living room. Whoa! Did you read the, what's the local newspaper? Did you read the Lymington Times about the bloke who was at Leap? And he's just walking along the beach at Leap. And as he's walking, he's looking across. He can see Portsmouth and the Spinnaker Tower. And he notices this bottle just bobbing on the seaside. So he picks it up and he can't see the label. So he rubs the label. Didn't you read this story? In the Lymington Times, isn't it? The Lymington Times. He rubs the label and a genie, yeah, a genie pops out of the bottle. He's just, poof. He's thinking, what did I have to eat last night? So he thinks, genie my foot. A genie speaks it. He says, you've got 3 wishes, oh master. I said, come on, you had me on. He said, all right, I want to be rich. Your wish is my command, oh master. There on the beach at Leap, there's this huge pile of gold. Can't believe it. Come on, wish number 2. So, I'd love a Ferrari. I walk past that dealership in Lyndhurst every week and I think, I'd love a Ferrari. Your wish is my command. Blimey, he's got a pile of gold. He's got a brand new Ferrari, top of the range. Wish number 3, oh master. Well, he thinks hard. Last one. He says, I'd love to be attractive to women. Your wish is my command, oh master. And he turns him into a bar of chocolate. You think I'm kidding. Sometimes my wife would prefer a bar of chocolate. She's a chocoholic. But my question to you this morning, do you know, I love learning through laughter. Church should be a place where we learn through laughter. Jesus taught folks, you know, bloke with a plank in his eye. What a funny illustration. There's no shame in learning through laughter in church, as long as we take the word of God seriously. And my question to you this morning is, do you believe that God can do it? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Do we believe that God can do it? That God can work for the best in our lives? I believe God can do it. When I was 15, I come from a working class mining community. My dad was a coal miner. I'm one of 7 children. I'm the middle child of 7. There were 3 above and 3 below. I used to tease them. I used to say it was a bit like a sandwich. The quality was in the middle. Well, when I was 15, I got into trouble with the police for breaking and entering, and I ended up in Ashington Magistrates Court. And I have a police record. And shortly after that, I was invited to go to a Christian concert on a Saturday night to hear a rock band playing. I was really into my heavy music, Black Sabbath, Wishbone Ash, Led Zeppelin and all that stuff, and I went. And at the end of the evening, they sang Christian songs set to rock music, and at the end of the evening, the guy told me Jesus died on the cross for me and I could have a new start. And it didn't make much sense to me, but something inside was just resonating. This sounds right. He said, if you want to invite Jesus into your life, come forward this evening. And I was with my mates. Northern Ashington lads, they always tell the truth. They call a spade in Ashington. In Ruislip, they call it a gardening implement. You know, I don't know what they call it. I haven't worked it out yet in Lymington, whether you call a spade in Lymington or Lyndhurst, or whether you give it some posh name. A shovel, yeah, okay. So they went home, and I went forward. And God has blessed my life. So I know God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine. Do you believe that this morning? And I'm grateful for vocal reaction. I am grateful. But I want to come back to you and I want to say, well, how has that shown itself over the last 7 days? I've just told you a story about something that happened to me when I was 15. I'm more concerned about the blessing of God that happened to me 15 minutes ago. What is God doing in our lives today? Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus ever the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. What is God doing in our lives today? Now, it's true. God is able. We read the scriptures and we see it. Old barren Sarah, who's given a baby. Drowning Jonah, who's provided with a whale. Peter the betrayer, who's given a second chance. Saul the persecutor of the church, who's given one in the eye. Blinded on the road to Damascus. God is able to do immeasurably more. So you just think for a moment, this is rhetorical, I don't want you to verbalize anything, but you just think, what are the areas in your life at the moment, if God could do it, what would you like him to do in that area? Maybe you've got children, grandchildren sitting exams. I want God to be with them. He's not going to answer the questions for them. If they haven't done the work, then, you know, it's... But can God come alongside and just help them to remember what they've learned? Hospital appointment, hey? Carrie's sister had a minor operation this morning. We prayed this morning at home that she would know the presence of God in that situation. What is it for you this morning? Folks, unless we earth our faith in reality, it's just cerebral. It's never going to turn the world upside down. But when people see God at work in us, it's going to make a difference. They're going to want to come and fill these pews here at Lyndhurst Baptist Church. They want to know this God who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask. Now, it's true. God doesn't always do it. I've been the minister of a large Baptist church in London for the last 39 years. Our membership's over 300. As the senior minister of a large team, we probably see about 500 adults in the course of a month. How often I have sat with folks who have had the greatest tragedies in their lives. I don't know that there's anything I haven't had to deal with living in a London suburb. Cancer deaths, too many to remember. The tragic loss of children, of teenagers, folks who committed suicide. Young girl Cordelia Lovett, who was murdered on her way home from school. I've been with a couple as they turned off the life support machine for their baby. Only this past month, I visited a lady who was dying of cancer I retired in October, but the family, I said, can I go and visit your mum in hospital? She was diagnosed a month earlier, and she's told there's nothing we can do. The family haven't even started to get their head around the fat mum's got cancer. And I went in and I sat by her bedside and I held her hand. And her first words to me were, you know I'm dying, don't you? You know I'm going to die. And I said, yeah, I know you're going to die. But I'm not frightened, she said. So you're not playing at being a Christian when you're in that kind of situation. This is where the rubber hits the road. And the night before I visited her, I woke in the middle of the night and God said to me, personalize Psalm 23 for her. So I held her hand and I said to her, the Lord has been your shepherd. He's led you in green pastures. He's led you by still waters. He has restored your soul. He's guided you in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And now, as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't need to fear any evil because he is with you. His rod and staff, they comfort you. He's prepared a table for you in heaven. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days. I read it again at her funeral about 10 days ago. God doesn't always do what we want him to do, especially if it's outside of his will. Paul says to the Philippians, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches. All your needs, not all your wants. There's a world of difference between what I want and what I need. We'd have liked a bigger house in Lymington. But I've been a minister for the last 40 years. Don't have a lot of dosh to splash around the place. But we're grateful for the little place that God has given us. It's what we needed. Might have wanted something bigger. God said, no, you just need this. And we love it. We are so blessed because God has met our needs. So the challenge of this doxology this morning, are we willing to allow God to work in us and through us? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. There's a partnership going on here. God working in us and through us and for us and with us. So again, I'm a really practical bloke, really, and I'm challenged by thinking, well, if that's the case, what is it in the coming days that I want to engage in with God? Where do I want him to work, and how can I work alongside him? Can you target something? And it may not be a big thing, but maybe, let's just give you a few examples. Maybe you're not as good a prayer as you used to be. Maybe you're not good at spending that time alone with God. Just in his presence, sat in the garden and reflecting on his wonder. Think, God, I want to work with you this week to try and grab a bit more time with you this week. Maybe you've lost your way in terms of reading the scriptures. You don't need to read them these days. People say to me, oh, my eyes are terrible. I can't read them anymore. Well, get an audio tape. Listen to them. But it may be bigger than that. It may be a health issue and you're anxious. Do you know, the older I get, whenever I have a health issue, I get anxious these days. I never used to get anxious. I used to have an S on my chest. Super Dell. Nothing troubles me. Now I get anxious. And I've got to say to God, work with me on this one, will you? What could you work with God on during this week? I need to finish. Carrie and I were at the Isle of Wight last year. We went again this year, actually. Good deal on Travelzoo. 3 days in the Isle of Wight. Ferry crossings included. Stayed at a wonderful hotel. And we'd never been before. And last time we went, we're walking through the streets of Ryde. We walked along the seafront, and then we were getting late because we thought, oh, blimey, we need to get back the car. We need to get the car. So we cut through some back streets, and suddenly I saw this big concrete plaque on the wall of a house. And it said, William Carey stayed in this cottage in 1793, awaiting a ship to India. William Carey. Some of you know him, don't you? William Carey was a cobbler in Northamptonshire, and he came to faith and followed Jesus, and he became one of the greatest Christian missionaries of the modern era. He went to India, turned the world upside down. William Carey. And he said this once, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. And that's my challenge to you this morning, off the back of Ephesians 3:20. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Expect God to do it and work with him on it to his praise and glory. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful doxology, this outburst of praise from the Apostle Paul, who's seen your handiwork so often within his life, even in the most difficult of circumstances, in that Philippian jail, And yet he sings your praise. Lord, whatever's going on in our lives, help us to trust you, to work with you, and to allow you to have your will be done. And bless us, bless this church. Foster faith. May it become an even brighter beacon of light in this community. Because God is at work in the people of this church, as well as in this geographical location. Merciful God, hear our prayers. So in the final silent moment, I want you to think of something where you could work with God, where you need God to be involved. And in the quietness of a moment, bring that to him this morning.